Well, welcome to Hiatus, the Falcon and the Winter Soldier recap show. I'm so excited to kick this off and talk about this show. My name is David Jackson. I'm joined by my good friend, my brother, Anthony Cross. Anthony, thank you for stepping in and chatting with me. I'm excited to dig into this. This is our recap show, but before we dig into the episode, want to take a time to give like a brief intro to you, to the folks that are listening.
Yeah, my name is Anthony. I just love Marvel. I've loved it from the moment Iron Man came out. That was the first movie I ever actually bought for myself. And just seeing what they did and how far it's come, it blows me away. And so I just love the comics and just what they're doing. And so I'm just excited to be here.
Nice. What's your favorite Marvel movie? Is it Iron Man or is it a different one?
I want to say Iron Man is probably my favorite movie, but he's not my favorite character anymore. And I got a big reason for that. Thor is my favorite character.
Okay.
Big reasons for that, though.
Nice. Yeah, I talked a little about in the intro. You know, my favorite movie is actually the Winter Soldier, Captain America, the Winter Soldier. That's my favorite Marvel movie, and so I was really excited that for the show, and so yeah, awesome. So we're gonna do this is we're gonna first episode, we're gonna recap the episode, the most recent one, the first one that came out yesterday, March 19th, and then we're gonna give our insights and thoughts about it and just go from there. So the first episode of the Falcon and the Winter Soldier is titled New World Order. It's crazy how mysterious they had, like, no one knew the title of the episode until like it dropped. It was pretty funny. But it kind of opens up with, you know, a little throwback to Endgame. We hear Captain America and Old Man Cap, his voice, you know, when he was asking Sam about the shield, how it felt. And Sam is ironing while he's thinking about it. So automatically, you know, you have that throwback to Endgame. And then we shift to kind of like, at least for me, I thought it was kind of a out of the blue when we find out that he actually donates the shield to the Smithsonian or some type of museum. What was your thoughts when you saw that?
Yeah, you know, that kind of blew me away. I kind of had a feeling that at some point he was kind of maybe give it up a little bit. I didn't think they'd do it so early on, though. I thought he was going to, you know, try to do it for a while and, you know, maybe like, all right, I can't really do this. This new Captain America might be all right. I thought he was going to like sponsor the new Captain America. Like, you know, this might be a good idea. But it definitely took a different turn than I expected. I mean, there were some things that happened throughout the episode that really went in a different direction than I was expecting from the get-go. And so it's going to be interesting to see how they try to redeem that title now that it's been so broadly given to this new guy.
Right. You know? Yeah. I was totally like that. I was kind of waiting for that first moment of like, oh, like something that went against expectation. I didn't expect it to happen that soon, but yeah, I totally thought that he, just like you said, we'll try it out for a little bit. So yeah, he donates his shield. We get a little cameo from War Machine, Rhodey. That was pretty cool. He's sitting in the crowd, and then he's trying to, you know, kind of seems like he's trying to convince Sam to, like, you know, how come you're not, you know, Captain America. And we jump into, like, I guess like the first action sequence of, you know, him in action, the Falcon in action. He's, you know, he's trying to, I'm blanking on the reason why, but he's trying to reclaim this soldier, right, that's been kidnapped from in this, right. And we see like a little cameo from Batroc, the dude from Winter Soldier, George St. Pierre. I like him when he used to be an MMA fighter, so I used to follow him when he was fighting. But yeah, it's cool to see him fighting. But yeah, so he fights, Falcon goes in and realizes that the aircraft is already taken over by this group, so they start fighting, and it's a cool little scene with him flying around down and you know, we see Red Wing in action, which is kind of cool.
Back in action.
Yeah.
That all really set the bar. I think them showing that, hey, we can make a scene here that looks like something you're going to see in a movie. I think that's really big for them right now.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, I was on the edge of my seat. I was like, how's this going to go? Because, yeah, we had never seen, like, in Winter Soldier, you saw him, like, flying, but, like, not to this extent, like, the maneuvering and things like that. So that was kind of cool. So he gets this guy back, and then we start hearing about this group called the Flag Smashers. He's with his friend. I'm not sure what city they're in, but he's fixing Red Wing, and this friend talks about this group called the Flag Smashers, where this group that wants the world to go back to how it was during the blip, you know, that 5-year span, which I thought was pretty cool, them talking about, you know, the dynamics in that 5 years. But we hear about this group that wants world with no heroes, and how in a weird way, the world became united, you know, in those 5 years. What are your thoughts on that part?
Yeah, you know, that really did blow my mind. I love how Marvel is starting to add more depth to a lot of these characters. They're not so bad anymore. The way they're going about what they want is really bad, but their ideologies is, it's like you can sit there and say, you know what, I might agree with them, which is kind of crazy.
Yeah.
I could imagine, you know, if the world did half of it just blipped away and all of a sudden, you know, everyone's like, you know what we had sucked and we got to get together and do this right. And then all of a sudden it just gets thrown right back into chaos because you got all these people coming back. They're all different ages. Mm-hmm. New relationships have started. You know, I think Spider-Man did it right, you know, where they're like, this used to be my younger brother. Now he's my older brother. I don't know what to do, you know?
Man, that would gotta be weird.
Right. It's so I think I could totally understand where they're coming from. Like, the world is now crap again. They just don't, you know, help each other anymore. They can't even get alone. It's just like right back to let me do what I can do for myself.
Right. And that's something I'm going to save for the end portion. But yeah, that's something that has been talked about a lot, about, you know, how not just Marvel, but a lot of these other studios can utilize these streaming and series by being able to, like, elaborate and do a little better storytelling than they could in the movies. But yeah, I thought that was really interesting. And so we kind of get to the Winter Soldier section of the show, and this was the part I was the most excited about, because, man, again, Captain America, the Winter Soldier, like, the scenes with the Winter Soldier were so intense and so like just action-packed. And so I was excited for them to kind of go back. Like, the music was similar, if not the same, like when we see like a flashback to him killing this guy and then killing this bystander that, you know, is revealed to be, you know, the son of one of the guys he's trying to befriend or, like, you know, make amends for. So we see he's having nightmares, and then he goes in to these therapy sessions where we find out that he actually has a book that he's, with all the names of people that he's either killed or helped elevate, you know, to these different positions, he's making amends. And we see, like, the different ways that he goes about that. What were your thoughts on that section when we kind of see this backstory of what he's going through?
Yeah, I think they did a really good job of toning him down for a moment, really just showing, like, where his head is at. That's always big. They touched on it a lot in the movies, which, again, he was always a bit of a back character, so we never got the full depth of him. But to see him really, even though he's got his mind back, still tripping out because of what he's done, I really feel bad for him, you know? And I can't imagine just having this guilt and trying to correct a situation that wasn't even his fault. You know, he didn't choose to be frozen and turn into a soldier and mind controlled. He didn't do all that. But, you know, it just shows how real it is, you know, and I, that's something I love too, is they're kind of grounding it to a level where we can relate again. Like, how would you handle this situation? Like, how do I tell a guy, like, hey, I killed your son. I didn't mean to, but I did.
Yeah.
that would be so tough, you know?
Yeah.
And so I could see how now why he built a friendship with him. He probably tried so many times, but just couldn't do it and ended up being his friend. Yeah, man, I think it's going to be awesome to kind of see how they really help him just get through this period where he has to figure out, how do I be different than what I was trained to be?
Yeah.
Which is kind of weird because he's never had... Oh, go ahead. Yeah, yeah.
No. Yeah, no, finish your thought. You're good.
Well, basically, like, how do I change... like, he never had control before. And so now he does have control, and it's like, but it's been so short that it's like he just doesn't know what to do.
Yeah, this part actually like fixed two problems I had with like the Winter Soldier character Bucky Barnes. Like, one of my issues was like he was so like fierce and like intimidating in the Winter Soldier, and when he became Bucky, I felt like, oh, I understood why, but like he became like not as like, this is a dude that's supposedly, you know, on par with Captain America in terms of like strength and all this stuff. And I feel like his character kind of got watered down, and I understand like he wasn't brainwashed anymore, so a lot of that's gone. But also the second part, I felt that, we got to see Cap and like how he reconciled like him being, you know, old and out of time and in the wrong place and not really being able to live his life. I've appreciated that we're kind of getting to do the same thing with Bucky now, like kind of dealing with, you know, like you just said, like how he's brainwashed and like all those things like you can't do in a movie because he's not a main character, but like he in terms of him and Captain America, like they went through similar things and in different extremes. And so I'm glad like we get to dive into like his mindset. How does he deal with all those memories? There was a part in Civil War when Tony Stark is like, you know, chokeholding when he's saying, you know, do you remember her name, talking about his mom that he killed. And he was like, I remember all of them. And so we see right. that he remembers them. And then too, like, I don't know if you saw this, like he, you know, again, drawing the parallels of Captain America, like he was drinking on the date with he ends up going on a date with the bartender. He's drinking and like, she's like, oh, you can really hold your liquor. And there's a callback to how like in the first Captain America movie, because of the super soldier serum, he couldn't get drunk. Like, so he was like, that's right. one of the, and so him, he's dealing with all this trauma and he can't even like, you know, how folks medicate with alcohol. Like he can't even escape that way. And so,
right.
It's just a layer to like mentally what he's going through. So I think this kind of how WandaVision dealt with like trauma and loss and everything like that. I think this is probably how they're going to address like, you know, mental challenges and what he's dealing with. So I liked how they're approaching it. So that was pretty cool. So we go from the therapy session. No, and I think now we and for those listening, if we get some of these beats wrong, it's all good. It's not a comprehensive, but we get into a little bit about more of the flag smashers, where Sam's friend is finds out where they're the flag smashers, this, you know, group of people that want the world to go back. They have this meetup, meetup.com right. event, and they this robbery or something happens, and then we see all these people with masks to confuse the police. And we see that these guys are like not just these vigilantes or extremists, they're like super soldiers and like really right. strong. When they had that reveal, what went through your mind? I'm interested to know what you thought when you realized these guys, now that they're like super strong and crazy.
Well, yeah, two things stood out to me. One, they are very organized. One, because they set this whole scene up. Nobody really knows what's going on, except that they need to put on a mask. And as soon as they say run, everyone just books it.
Man.
But they're not really involved, so they don't know anything. And so no matter who the police get, the people can get away. The second thing is, yeah, they are very strong, which that part right there, I can say a lot. I don't know how much you want me to say yet.
Yeah.
This for me, ties in a lot for what the whole Baron Zemo thing is going to do
right.
later on. Because if we recall, you know, his big thing with the Civil War was that he did not like super soldiers. You know, Captain America, he was kind of okay, you know, maybe, but the idea of there being more, he was like, no, we can't do that. More Winter Soldiers, can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
And so if what's going on is that all these people now are just getting super strong and they're just all around, you know, mm-hmm. I think what might happen is we're going to see Falcon and Winter Soldier kind of run into him at some point.
Mm-hmm.
But because they're both going to have this similar goal of trying to get rid of all these super soldiers, it might kind of tie into that alliance, which eventually will probably break toward the end too, because Baron Zemo's got his own way of how he wants to do it, and they're going to have their way of wanting to do it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, just seeing how available that strength is now, you know, it's not just like Captain America and Bucky anymore. There's mm-hmm. multiple people that are this strong, and it changes almost like the idea of what the Marvel Universe even looks like. Because before mm-hmm. there was only so few people that were heroes, but now mm-hmm. we're going to see not just superheroes, but actual supervillains.
Yeah. No, I'm interested to see how they explain that, because you're right. Like, you know, in Captain America, the first Avenger, you come away thinking that only Cap is the only person that got the serum and the rest got destroyed. Then you realize, oh, no, Winter Soldier, he got it. And then a small group of people got it, but they got killed by Zemo. And then now we see these other people. You're right. Like, I'm wondering how they're going to explain that, because I always thought like that it was a limited thing. Like, it wasn't something that anybody could like replicate, or people tried to, but they couldn't do it. And so,
right.
So yeah, you have this group.
That's cool.
It reminds me of like this, you know, this terrorist flash mob that happens. So the getaway, they still don't know a lot about the group, but we get insight into Sam, and he's, you know, he's meets up with his sister, and they're trying to, you know, save their house and their business. And this brought up something I've seen on Twitter. We come to realize that Sam doesn't have a lot of money. His sister's right. trying to get a loan, and he can't even be he's the Falcon. He can't even like get a bank loan. And I, in my head, I'm like, well, I knew Sam was gone for the 5 years, but I'm like, man, you would think like he helped save the world. Like, he can't right. get any side money. And he had said he had government contracts, but I'm like, how is he that broke? And I guess they could try to explain it in terms of like, you know, he's had no income for the last 5 years, and so, but I'm like, that part didn't like connect with me. But in my mind, and I saw it on Twitter, they're like, oh, you know, Tony Stark left these guys broke from the Avengers, because right. Tony was bankrolling the Avengers. But yeah, what do you think of that, this section with Sam and you know, kind of the revelations of him, you know, not having any money?
I mean, that part really blew my mind. I mean, I know they even touched on in the episode. He the guy did ask, like, you know, is Tony paying you guys? Mm. He was trying to find some income. Like, do you have any money coming in at all?
Yeah.
And now it's just gone. Obviously, Tony died. Mm. And it's like, what did they do? Like, did Tony really just take care of him the whole time? And they just had, like, you know... blank checks or something, a card right. that he provided. And so it's kind of a funny thing I never thought about before, like, how did they get paid? That never crossed my mind before. Yeah. You know, like, where are they getting their money from? I mean, we all kind of knew Tony was rich, and that was
right.
it. And then I think, you know, obviously this isn't going to be a route, but it was going to be, you know, next to Black Panther to be the next bankroller.
Mm.
And so that hasn't, you know, come up yet. But the idea that even with government contracts, I mean, you would think a guy who's able to do what he does would get a pretty big chunk of money,
mm-hmm.
Especially for saving a guy, you know, before getting taken into some other country and possibly, you know, tortured and interrogated or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, in my mind, I'm thinking, like, if you're a superhero, you got to be making $1 million a day. Like, that's what I imagine, mm-hmm. right? You know, but to think that he can't pay for a small boat and a small building, I just, I think that it's going to raise a lot of questions for a lot of people throughout the internet. Like, you know, what is the income of every superhero that I've never seen? Someone's probably going to make a YouTube video. You know, they make YouTube videos about who's the strongest, who's the smartest, who could do this or that. But like, how much money does a superhero make? That would be an interesting video.
Yeah. If anybody's listening knows any links to that, please share. Yeah, for sure. I'll be curious to know that too. So yeah, so that stuck out to me. So now we come to kind of like the climax of the episode that man got me like fired up. You know, so we see, you know, a newscast of the announcement. They're announcing the new Captain America, and so the one thing that like. I don't know if they intended to do this, but it looks like from the back, we see this guy in the Captain America suit from the back. It looks like Captain, like I thought, oh man, like I knew it wasn't going to be Captain America, but like it looked like Captain America from the back. And then we see the front and it's not, they say it's a new Captain America, but the style of the suit looks like US agent. You know, for those that read the comic books, there's the government replaces Cap with this person called US agent, similar suit, but just different design, similar to what we saw. And so we see this guy who's, there's a lot of memes out about him in terms of how he looks, but we see like this guy is a new Captain America, and we see Sam like watching the show, like watching the newscast, and we see him like ticked off. And so the reveal is that this new Cap, the world needs a new symbol, and we see this new Cap. What did you think when you saw, when you were watching this play out? What went through your mind?
That I just, when it was happening, I was like, you know, the crazy thing is I can go back and say I do believe they prepared the Falcon and Winter Soldier the same way they did Endgame. Mm-hmm. Showed a lot of stuff from the first episode, but we have no idea what's going to happen later. Mm-hmm. In all the commercials, I believe all the commercials showed a lot of what we saw in the very first episode. Mm-hmm. Without even realizing it. And now that we see that it's all happened so fast, the only thing I'm wondering now, what are they going to do for the next 9 episodes? Because with this guy, if he's revealed so soon, it changed my perspective of just how this whole thing's going to play out. Mm-hmm. I mean, he gave up the shield so soon. This guy's probably going to do some things that are just super shady. From what I understand in the comics, he's just as strong, just as quick, just as agile, just as witty. But he's just more brutal in how he deals with situations. Yeah. Even from the back, the first thing I noticed was the gun on his hip.
Oh yeah,
Captain America never carried a gun. Seeing that gun there, it's just the whole image just changes. Like you just know, like this is not like Captain America. Captain America. This is just like almost a joke. Mm-hmm. And then when they finally show his face, I was a little upset, you know, because he just looked like a jerk.
You know? Looked like the dude just wanted to fight. Like I was watching it. I was like getting mad as Sam was getting mad. I was getting mad. I was like, oh, I'm so ticked right now. I don't even know why.
Right. You know, the part that killed me too was that the mask didn't even look like it fit his face. You know, it looked like it was a little like loose, you know. I was like, this just looks so bad, you know.
Yeah.
And so it just, man, it blows my mind to think that that, you know, this character exists now. And it's going to be interesting because I know Sam is he's, you know, he's a hero, but Marvel's done a great job of grounding the reality of how people are. And so he won't be able to fight this guy like hand-to-hand combat kind of thing, right? Even Tony Stark, man, his Iron Man suit, he was taking a pretty strong beating when fighting Captain America, and he had to think and fight. And so, you know, it'll be an interesting fight to see the Winter Soldier and this new Cap get into a fight. I hope they do something like that, and maybe get the shield back that way. But I'm just baffled at this point. I think they did a good job just setting this up with this guy and just getting us a good upfront view of, you know, what we can expect, that he's going to be a douchebag. I almost feel like the way they shot it and everything, like they want us to look at him like, oh, like we're going to hate this guy.
Oh man. Yeah. So side note. So unless they change, so I believe this run is only 6 episodes, but they're all 45 minutes. So like WandaVision was like 9 episodes, and but most of them are like half an hour, and a couple of them were a little longer. Right. I think this one 6 episodes, but they're all going to be around 40-45 minutes. I'll double check, but I'm pretty sure that's what the lengths are. But yeah, you're right. Like, you know, we know that he's going to get the shield back somehow, because in the some of the footage of the show, you see him with the shield, but like how? And yeah, man, I already don't like the dude, the Captain America, and I think that was the plan. I feel bad for the guy that plays him, because he's going to get a lot of hate, and it's not even his fault. It's just right. Bad guys. Yeah, so we close on that, kind of ends on that cliffhanger. And that's the first episode. So we kind of talked about a little bit. What are some, we're going to move into the portion of likes and dislikes. What did you like about this first episode?
Well, the biggest thing that I liked is that it definitely stands out from the get-go. Just like WandaVision. WandaVision did not hit us like a Marvel movie. It totally came out of left field, and you really didn't know what to expect. And so it drew you in that way, and then as it progressed, it just continued to blow your mind more and more. And I think with this one, it's the same thing. Just because we get a good glimpse of what they can do with the graphics and just how Sam operates, as a character on his own, as a standalone character, he really can fight. You know, he really can go out and do missions on his own. He was shown to be a sidekick, but he can definitely be a leader. And they show that from the beginning, and it makes sense why Captain America was willing to give that title over to him. Sam does have what it takes to be that leader. He's willing to get in there and make things happen. The other thing that stood out to me that I really liked was that Falcon and Winter Soldier aren't even together in the first episode.
Yeah, that's true. It's true.
I wasn't expecting that. I thought they were going to be kind of hanging out. But it really shows that they went their separate ways and that they're just kind of figuring out who they are. And so we're getting a good glimpse of both of them and where they're at and how they're going to need to pull together to try and deal with everything that's happening. One, figuring out who this new Cap is, eventually whenever Baron Zemo comes in with his flag group, and just how are these two guys going to deal with these problems is something that I'm just looking forward to seeing. That's something I'm really, just the way the story's set up, I love how it's going so far.
All great. I think I mentioned a little bit about what I like. I just liked how they went down. You kind of see them digging in the layers of these two characters. And one thing, as you're talking about that, I didn't even realize, is that, you know, when you mentioned they're not together, and it's called, you know, the Falcon and the Winter Soldier. What I didn't realize is that, you know, WandaVision was great in it, but it's leading up to the next Doctor Strange movie. I don't think this show is leaning into any movie or anything to my recollection. So in my mind, I'm thinking, you know, I'm liking how, like, you can see how they're trying to flesh out these characters, and who knows if they're gonna, I imagine they're gonna appear in more movies, but in case they don't, there's a lot of great payoff in, like, you know, figuring out his backs, the Winter Soldier, you know, fleshing out his story and how he, you know, deals with, you know, his past. And then, yeah, even Sam, like, dealing with, you know, being the leader. And I'm excited to see how they deal with that dynamic of him being, you know, Captain America, the leader. Because in the comic books, you know, he goes on to, like, lead the Avengers for a little bit. Like, and so I'm interested to see to what capacity they elevate Sam's character. So yeah, what about dislikes? What are some things you didn't like? Maybe it wasn't to the totally opposite. Maybe some things you thought they could have done better.
I mean, it's kind of hard to say because, you know, we've only seen so much. But I think they might have toned down the Winter Soldier a little too much. Just, you know, there wasn't really any action with them at all. But I think, you know, again, it is to really set up an understanding of who he is. But I was kind of looking forward to seeing, you know, just the way he operates on his own as well. But he, at the same time, maybe he doesn't know how to operate yet, which is his big deal. And I think that's probably one of my biggest things. I just want to know how he's going to start to develop his personal character. He doesn't have his best friend anymore. He doesn't really have any direction. He's not a soldier anymore. And he's just like there. He just exists in a time that he's not familiar with. And so he just, And so I think that's probably the biggest thing is that I'm left feeling bad for him. It's probably the one of the biggest things that I just want to see him, you know, get it together and make it happen and see where they take him.
Yeah, for sure. I think one of my criticisms, and it could be something that they could deal with later. You're right, like it's the first episode. My two things were, I didn't like how, you know, although it's like a good surprise and it subverted your expectations, Sam, you know, not giving back the shield. That was something I was like, oh man, come on. Like in the end game, he got the shield. You thought he was, you know, he accepted. And so to see him give it back, I was like, oh, that's kind of weak. So that disappointed me. And then the other part was, and who, again, this might be something they explain, but the part of like them being broke, I'm like, I get like, theoretically, oh, you know, 5 years, he comes back, not, but dude, save the world, you know, like these guys should, and not only they, it seems like the world, like they knew it too, because when they're walking through the museum, Sam and Rhodey, you can see like the newspaper clippings about them saving the world and things like that. So I'm like, why aren't these guys better, you know? I get like it's more of like a real world, but I would imagine like if you knew someone saved the world, they have way more notoriety, more money, and more resources, at least to not be in a situation where you can't get a bank loan.
Right.
So that was my thing, but I get it. You know, it's great story. It creates like a compelling, you know, situation, but you have to like suspend your disbelief a little bit, even though it's a movie about superheroes. So that was it. All right. So now this is probably one of my favorite parts, or will be the favorite part of the podcast going forward. Obviously, so WandaVision, people went crazy with like different theories. You know, people thought Mephisto was going to come, Nightmare, all these different things. And right. And some of them were rightly justified. Others were just, they're just taking every little thing and speculating. So I thought it'd be fun to kind of do a two-part. So we're going to call this Future Sight. And so this is where it's not a hot take, but you just share based on the first viewing, what do you think is going to happen either in the next episode or by the end of the series? Nothing too crazy, but what do you suspect from this first episode to happen? And we can look back on this and maybe we're right, maybe we're wrong, but what do you think?
Right. Well, I know I kind of explained my theories a bit now already before, but again, because of the way that this first episode really kicked in, it changed my perspective a lot and just how it's going to trail. And also now that I know that it's only possibly six episodes, that's also changing my mind a bit. But it ended showing that they got the new Cap. And so I'm guessing they're going to do this whole introduction with them in the next episode where he goes into the stadium and all that. And they're going to, those commercials are going to pop in. But
right.
I think also just at some point, if there's so many few episodes, they got to put Falcon and Winter Soldier together, I think, in the next episode. Mm-hmm. They have to connect. And so I think finding out Flag Snatchers, right?
Smashers. Snatchers. Snatchers,
yeah. I don't know why.
Capture the flag, man.
Right. But the Flag Smashers, I think they're going to definitely have to dive into more of who they are and what they want. Mm-hmm. They, again, obviously are organized. They have to have some great oversight to be able to rob a bank the way they did. And where are they getting this serum from? Mm. Like how big in the market is it right now? Is it like Wakanda? Almost said Animantium, but the vibranium. You know, like where people are starting to find out more and more about it, and it's kind of getting out there a bit more and more. Or is there a bigger oversight? And this goes into my other theory, is that, again, like, I know I said that there are weren't really super villains. There are a lot of bad guys in the Marvel Universe. But again, when I mention super villains, I want to put an emphasis on the S. There wasn't really a group of bad guys, right? Yeah. The Avengers has clearly been together for a long time. Whereas in many theories, you know, people are like, oh, maybe Thunderbolt Ross is going to do his thing with the, you know, his group, or maybe all the bad guys, the Sinister Six is going to happen, you know, and right. they're going to be a big group in New York, right? But a lot of those have just been theories. Nothing like that has actually happened. You know, Loki was part of Thanos' group, but there was just layers. There wasn't like a group of villains that got together. That was more of a hierarchy. Mm-hmm. And so I'd be curious to see that they actually create a group of super villains, like villains that are getting together, which could lead into, again, the whole Fantastic Four thing, right? Mm. And just, you know, bringing in that hierarchy, like with what's his name? The villain for the Fantastic Four.
Dr. Doom,
right? Yeah. And so, like, he's supposed to create his own country.
Right.
That's a big thing. And there's a lot of theories with that as well. And so it'd be nice to see that they get somebody, if not Thunderbolt or Dr. Doom, but somebody to kind of start pulling these guys together and start really organizing crime. You know, that there's an organized crime syndicate or something, and just making chaos for all these superheroes. And then over the next couple of years, after these TV shows and after these movies, we finally get a reason again to start pulling all these Avengers together, like, okay, we got to fight these guys and you know, disperse this whole situation before it gets too crazy.
I didn't even think of that. That's a good point. I mentioned it, you know, from my knowledge, this isn't leading to any movies, but it could lead into another series that could debut some of that. That's a good point. I think for me, you know, typically Marvel, in most movies, you know, one of the supervillains can be like the government, the U.S. government, right? We saw that in Captain America. And so right. part of me thinks, like, you know, obviously we know that this new Cap is gonna like be crazy and probably part of me feels like they're gonna do like a switcheroo, and like we know Zemo. I totally forgot about Zemo as I was watching this, but my mind can go, oh, Zemo's behind these Flag Smashers, and part of me thinks like, well, man, maybe their government or some government is behind them actually, and Zemo's playing a whole totally different part. I feel like that's something that could happen, because you mentioned, you're right, like he didn't like the idea of super soldiers, a group of them, and so if he's behind a group that's super soldiers, it kind of defeats that point. So I'm thinking maybe either it's all part of his plan, or there's something else that he's up to. So that's what I thought. I'm like, oh man, I wonder if they're gonna play with that line of thought. Like, it could be the U.S. government is trying to like do something crazy with Cap, with this new Cap. We'll see with the next episode. I'm excited to see Sam and Bucky get together too. So now here's your chance where you can go supernova with your super hot take, like something that totally out of left field, if you want. What would be your super hot take? I have one that I'm interested to see if you agree, but what would be your super hot take? Something that you wouldn't think would happen, but could happen. Kind of the Mephisto theory.
Dang, okay. Yeah, I mean, you know, like at the end of WandaVision, I wasn't expecting her to go like full in, like we kind of knew that she was probably going to lose her mind, but I didn't think that she was be a full-on witch where she's like now studying this stuff out. I thought she was gonna have to connect with Doctor Strange and all that, but she's diving deeper into her insanity, so to speak. And so that was crazy. And I think with this, again, you had mentioned before that it's hard to tell how this is going to play out, because we don't know what to expect after either, which is putting it quite in the dark. But
yeah,
I think the craziest thing, somebody's putting out the super soldier serum. somebody is, right? If the government has it, if these this group has it, then you know, somehow it's getting out there. I think someone's going to organize the crime. Somebody is, that, you know, and I think it's going to eventually lead into an Avengers movie. If not, maybe even the crazy thing would be to see them doing something like the Defenders, where, you know, all the, yeah, you know, the low level Marvel heroes get together for the first time for one big TV episode. And then maybe we see, like, you know, Falcon, Winter Soldier, and then also we get Rhodey in there. Yeah. And then for whatever reason, Scarlet Witch shows up, you know, maybe they pull in Daredevil, right? Daredevil's been a tease quite a bit now. Marvel right. has the rights to use him however they want. And they've kind of teased that, that they do want to use the same character from the Netflix show, as well as the Punisher from the Netflix show. They've mentioned that they are looking into it. They've loved what they did. And so I think that would probably be a really out of left field thing to pull in some of these characters that we weren't expecting. Because again, they've only showed so much in the commercials, and we've already seen a lot of what they shared in the first episode, which means these next, they've got hours of stuff that we just have no idea what's going on yet.
That's right, man. Yeah, that's a good point. I like the thought. I'd love to see Daredevil and the Defenders in there. I miss those shows. My check this out. This is my crazy hot take. I think that old man Cap can come back and be changed back into normal Captain America. You know, they have that part where the guy was asking him about, is Captain America on the moon or something, like where is he at?
Right.
So like the old Cap is still around, like theoretically walk around right. somewhere. My wild take is that, because I know Chris Evans isn't playing him anymore, supposedly he's not playing him. There's rumors that he could possibly sign back on for another movie. My theory is that he comes back and they use him and get like the original Captain America back in, that leads into something. But that'll be my wild theory, like old man Cap, they bring him back somehow, and he comes back and maybe fights this fake Captain America that they have running around. Awesome. We'll see. So we'll see what happens with these, the regular and wild takes. So we're going to end on this note. What's something that doesn't have to necessarily do with Marvel or the show? What's something that you're kind of geeking out about that will fall into that category of geeking out? Something that you want to shout out?
I mean, you know, I think also to kind of explain before, I had mentioned that Thor is my favorite character. And I love all of the other characters, but and I do love what they're doing with the, you know, the whole Scarlet Witch thing. She's losing her mind. But I have to say, I don't think anybody has gone through more than Thor throughout the movies. Nobody. And, you know, when you think about who he is, right, he mentioned he was 1,500 years old. The time up to leading up to the whole situation with Thanos was only 15 years, roughly. Yeah, and so when you look at that, in like 1% of his life, he lost everything, right?
Dang, I mean, that's a good point.
He lost his dad, he lost his mom, he lost his brother like 3 times.
Dang, that's true.
You know, he lost his hammer, he lost his best friend,
lost his eye,
lost his planet. Right, he lost his eye. You know, he like loses everything, literally. It was his fault that half the universe disappeared. I mean,
dang,
this guy lost he lost his people twice. Half, you know, he lost half his people when his home planet got destroyed, and then he lost half his people when Thanos attacked, and then he lost another half when Thanos finally snapped his finger.
Dang. I mean,
you could imagine that, you know, all that weight. I wasn't surprised to see that he started drinking. I mean, for a guy like him who had so much for so long, and then to all of a sudden just lose it, and such, for him would have been a really, really short time. I'm surprised that was all he did, was just go to drinking. You know, some people were upset, like, you know, he's making fun of alcoholics. Like, no, that's what a normal person would have did. Like, in fact, mm-hmm. he actually held it together pretty well.
Right.
Considering, you know, everything that happened. And so the fact that he's still around and still going, that's why he's my favorite character. I mean, I don't think I could imagine anybody losing as much as he did. And then, you know, and still going. And so I just want to throw it out there, you know, for anyone listening, that's why Thor is my favorite character. You know, he really is. I mean, I don't know if I won't say he's the strongest Avenger, but he's definitely one of the strongest, right? Mm-hmm. You know, that I think there's always going to be a fight between Hulk and him, but
yeah, dang. Same time, I've never heard it put like that before. You're absolutely right, man. Like, all that stuff happened for him in a relatively quick span of time, man. That's intense. Snap, man. I won't go that deep for my geek out. I just watched with my wife. We just watched the Justice League Snyder Cut. I didn't want to, but I paid the price. Four hours long. But I liked it. I thought it was really good. Someone brought up, and the reason why I'm sharing this for the geek out portion is because it should be like, whether you like DC or Justice League or whatever, Zack Snyder, like, you should be rooting for this movie, because someone brought up a great point, like, with COVID's changed, like, so much, like, how even now how we watch movies. So they're saying, like, all these people banded together to get this Snyder Cut released, and he, you know, the studio gave him $80 million to finish it. So they're saying, like, these streaming services, now that there's so many different ones, you got Paramount has one, all these folks have these streaming services, that right. We're now going to be able to see potentially like a theatrical cut in the theaters and then a director's cut on a streaming service. So that appeals to the masses in the theaters and then to the people that want like more fleshed out at home. And so now directors are going to be able to tell their version of the stories. We're going to be able to see like better fleshed out stories. Even like shows like, you know, WandaVision being so successful, like we will be able to get these shows that are able to flesh out these stories, where these theatrical movies, they get cut down so much by the studios and all these things that what you get oftentimes isn't what is intended. So I'm excited right. to see more stuff like this come out. It's cool. You get to see more, like I grew up on comic books. So seeing more comic book intellectual property and content in these shows is awesome, because you can connect with it more. So that's what I'm geeking out about now. Just the potential of like more of these shows and to come out. I know Marvel's kind of, you know, killing it. They got all these shows coming out, but I'm looking forward to even, you know, DC, you know, they have the opportunity now to hopefully come out with some shows that can help them, you know, elevate their characters more, and not have to rely just on, you know, Batman and Superman, because they right. do have more other characters. So we'll see what happens. But watch the Snyder Cut. It was pretty good. Not pretty, it was solid. Like, it is definitely, I'm not going to watch it again. 4 hours, but it was good enough to like, you can tell there's a lot that he cut out of the movie, either by choice, or I know he couldn't finish it because of stuff happened in the studio, cut stuff out. But there's a lot of stuff that I'm like, man, he like, and it's not even like fluff, like, you know how you like you've edited videos, right? You got to cut out like the fat right. and stuff, but a lot of this stuff isn't like stuff that he cut anyway. It was like stuff that, wow, like they should have kept it all.
It added a lot of depth. It added a lot of depth. I did see it too, and so I think you're right. I do love the idea of streaming services. I am a fan of going to the movies.
Oh yeah, same.
Going to the movies. Yeah, mm-hmm. I don't think they should ever. I hope these streaming services don't take over to a point where they think people don't want to go to the movies. That's yeah. gonna be stupid. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, just like you said, Daredevil, Punisher, those TV shows were amazing. Mm. I wouldn't be so attached to the character if it were not for the TV shows. Same. And I think with the way they're approaching Falcon and Winter Soldier and WandaVision, we're pulling away from the big three, which was, you know, Thor, Iron Man, and Captain America. And mm-hmm. we're able to start diving in to these lower characters. And then what I loved about Marvel is that they did a good job of making all these movies for all these big characters, Ant-Man, Black Panther, and then pulling them all together. And when you see them interact or fight or flesh out a cause, you can feel for them because you understand where they're coming from. You know their story. Mm-hmm. And it helps a lot. And I that's something I was hoping DC could really pick up on, is not just stick to this one big story, but really take a step back. Like what they did with Wonder Woman with her first movie was perfect. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They really dove into who she is, where she came from, what she believes, and why she is the way she is. And when you see her pop into another movie, you're like, I know her. I get it. I want her to win. Right. And so, you know, these TV shows, I think they're going to do a great job of just giving us that opportunity to just dive into who these characters are. And then when we see them on the big screen, say, you know what, I want to see this guy when I understand why he's struggling, and I hope that he gets it. And so,
yeah, for sure. Yeah. We'll see what the future holds. Well, that wraps up the first episode of the Falcon and the Winter Soldier recap show. Anthony, bro, thank you so much for stopping by, and chatting in. We're going to recap, myself and a guest, we're going to recap every week until the series is over, and maybe do like a series wrap. But I'm excited to see what happens. I'm excited to chat with you. If you're listening, share what your crazy theories are. What's your hot take? What do you think is going to happen in the future episodes? Or maybe there's something we missed, some insight, please share. And we'll see you again next week as we wrap up and continue to recap the series. Awesome. Thank you, Anthony, for joining me, man. Appreciate it. Clutch.
Oh, yeah. Awesome. Thank you for letting me jump in. I appreciate it.
For sure.